big free FM, CBS, what it is, CBS, free FM, Penn Jillette's here, sitting here with Michael Goudeau, and it's a big day for Michael Goudeau, because you were on a long, long, long vacation.
I was on a very long vacation.
You were on a stupid long vacation. A
couple of weeks vacation.
And then last week on Tuesday, we had Phyllis Diller, we did that great interview. Phyllis Diller. I just love Phyllis so much. I just watched the DVD of Tiny Tim's wedding on Johnny Carson in 1969.
And where did you find a copy of Tiny Tim's wedding?
eBay.
Oh, sorry.
eBay.
Of course.
Thanks to Al
Gore,
who invented the internet. We have eBay, and I found a great all the commercials are there too. And the commercials are for Salem cigarettes. You can take Salem out of the country, but I probably just did a cigarette
You're
ad.
Probably going on our, to jail
we're
now.
We're probably going to jail now, right? But it's for Salem cigarettes and also for the hot lather dispenser. No, not Tom Foley. The hot lather dispenser that blew up. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember there was a hot lather dispenser, a
sure.
Schick or something, that had a little heating element?
You put
element.
An aerosol can on a little
yeah,
heater
and it
leave
blew
it
up.
There.
And it, but not, you know, you had to have special cans, and people didn't know you needed special cans, which is a sexy sentence, special cans. 866-570-PEN, 7366, Hot Lather Dispenser. I think that's, if I were starting a band right now, that would be the name, Hot Lather Dispenser. But I'm not starting a band, so don't get worried. 866-570-PEN, 7366. I guess I'll discuss the elephant in the room, the elephant that I haven't mentioned, and that is that it is, and Patrick, when I say this, I'm going to say the two words that are going to kick us off here, but there'll be a special treat associated with them. Because when I say these two words, you're going to hear the theme with lyrics. We never had lyrics before, but a guy by the name of David, I don't know where he's from, he sent in lyrics to the monkey song, and we looked at him here, and Jeff Welsh, who's a friend of ours, he's a good singer, and he's a very good singer. Have you heard the stuff he did? Have you heard the stuff he did for Love Tapes? Okay, why don't you listen to that? He's a wonderful singer. Great range and stuff. Now, I'm not saying that this example is a great example of great singing, but we all kind of tried to spit this out. We couldn't do it because David is a difficult lyricist. He's more concerned with, he has a number of syllables in each line written next to the line. So you can see he's slavish to the number of syllables, but not necessarily slavish to ease of rolling off the tongue. So he wrote lyrics to it, and we're probably going to play this. I just love it. And Jeff is a wonderful singer. This is not an example of Jeff's wonderful singing. So that's Happy Jack at all upset when
this
I said Jeff is
a poor example of Jeff's wonderful singing.
Very bad example of Jeff's wonderful singing. Okay. This is kind of best cursory. This is cursory, no work. But if you know the play that I did in Minneapolis recently,
yes.
I was in LA before that I wrote with Stephen Banks, Love Tapes, has a heavy metal band called Umlaut. And Jeff did all the vocals, not all, I did one of them, but most of the vocals for Umlaut, and he really sings terrifically. It's a wonderful one. Have you heard it?
I have not heard it.
Have you heard it at all?
No.
Nope. We'll play it for you sometime. But right now, what everybody's waiting for, and you might want to, actually, if you're listening at home and you're one of the people that really likes Tuesdays on the radio with us, you might want to record the whole theme. Get it from penradio.com. You can get the whole theme. And maybe you could write your own lyrics, or you could put a vocal on it and send it to us with these lyrics. And we would certainly play it, because on these Tuesdays, we get really desperate, really clawing, kind of clawing at the wall desperate, like it puts the lotion
Every
in the basket.
Every week we wonder, are we going to be able to do another Monkey Tuesday? Uh-oh,
no,
it doesn't work. See? Monkey Tuesday! Hey,
it.
Patrick, it's Monkey Tuesday! Never
but here it
song.
Is with the lyrics. You'll like this very much. We're going to have some. If you have monkey stories, get on the blower. Give us a call, 866-570-PEN, 7366, if you don't have letters on your phone. Give us a bang on the pipes. Tell us a few monkey stories, 866-570-PEN. 7366, or you can send your monkey stories. You'd like to write them out to penradio@gmail.com. And now, courtesy of David, and with vocal by Jeff Welsh, it's Monkey Tuesday!
Monkeys on the air, monkeys on the mic, screech fatty writing, that we like. Don't see chimpanzee, nor orangutan, always is monkey, bang, bang, bang. Monkeys in the air, monkeys on the roof, tearing out the land out with their tooth. Now they have the pots, now they have the pans, pants. Let's go out together. Bang, bang, pants.
Patrick, play that again.
Monkeys on the air, monkeys on the mic, screech, scratch, biting, that we like. Don't see chimpanzee, nor orangutan, always say his monkey, bang, bang, bang. Monkeys in the air, monkeys on the roof, tearing out the land out with their tooth. Now they have the pots, now they have the pants, let's go out together, bang, bang, bang.
Okay, that was really nice, I like that very much.
Jeff sings better than that? That seems spectacular to me.
Yeah, he's good. He's really good. He has this tremendous range. You can go way up that high in the 80s hair band. Not the Tiny Tim high, but the way up high, the hair band. You do all that stuff. He does all that. And he can also, he even does a power ballad. He's a good singer. He's a fine singer. Well, how old is he? He's like 30, right?
Yeah.
So his formative years were the time of that stupid singing of the 80s. So that's the kind of stupid singing he can do. He can do 80s stupid singing. So you were away for a while.
I was.
While you were on vacation. You went to where?
I was on a Disney cruise.
Yeah.
I was on a Disney cruise and we went to Mexico and I actually have my own monkey stories today.
Well, this is a very special day.
Short, not spectacular, but
lean into them.
You know, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. The first one was we went to a cave. My son and I went on a tour together.
Where are we here?
Mexico.
Mexico. Okay.
Mexico. And
where's about to Mexico? You can't give it. That's an undisclosed location. What do you have? You're building weapons of mass destruction
exactly
to Mexico,
right.
And you can't tell us where?
Well, you know, they didn't pay me or anything. I hate to.
it was a resort. You mean.
It was a resort.
Okay, but I thought it was looking for a geographical location because Mexico is
kind of that little peninsula. You know where that?
No, I know nothing
about Mexico. Never mind. Then.
I'm sorry I asked that question. I really didn't care about the answer
at all. You didn't care about the answer at all.
Not at all.
But we got on a bus and we went to a set of caverns. We saw some bats, stuff like that. My son and I, and on the
your
way,
your daughter and wife didn't go.
Well, no, my daughter's four. She's not allowed to go on a cavern tour until she's five. So,
oh really?
That's according to the people on the cruise, Disney.
Oh, Disney. That's a Disney. That's not a Mexico rule.
No, that's not a Mexico.
Mexico will let
four?
You drink.
Four. Right. We use her to weight the ropes.
Yeah.
No. It wasn't. She was not allowed on it, so she went to play with dolphins.
Okay. Good.
So my son and I went to the cavern.
Cave. Actually, you're really reinforcing sexual stereotypes here. Caves and bats are a boy thing. Dolphins are that's a chick thing.
Well, you know, it might be that my wife she's using it because she hates bats.
She
doesn't want to go to the cavern either. Yeah. So you know,
that's what I say.
Play with dolphins.
It's a good digging bats.
My family reinforces those stereotypes.
If a woman wants to call in who loves bats, I'd love to hear from 866-570 pen 7366.
Renee loves bats. She'll call in.
Renee will call in. But Renee's in Australia, so she's in the middle of
where there are very big bats.
Very big bats. Fruit bats, right?
Fruit bats, yeah. The giant ones.
Would you call me? go ahead. Tell your little
flying
story here.
Fox. Yeah, they had a one-acre area surrounded by just a regular chain-link fence, like a monkey island in the middle of this jungle. They just, like, plowed out around it. For a little path, and then fenced off this one-acre spot, and it was full of monkeys. And,
what kind of monkeys?
I don't know what kind they were.
I don't care.
Just either. Monkeys. You don't care at all. It doesn't matter.
Not a bit.
They weren't spider monkeys. That's what I know. They were not spider monkeys. But there was a guy in our group looking at the monkeys, and it's a perfect Monkey Tuesday spot. We should set up a camera because every week we'd have a story. And
what a great idea! How much would that cost to get a remote camera on the web at a monkey island in Mexico? We can afford them. Look at the size of my house, for Christ's sake. I'd make a dollar. Couldn't I set up a monkey cam?
That'd
How
be
cool
the spot.
Would that be? That would be really cool.
We could probably cover it with winnings from America's Funniest Home Videos.
This is a business opportunity.
It's a business opportunity.
Yeah, it's an
in
investment.
The
it's not pouring money down a rat hole. It's an investment. It's a proper investment, like the aristocrats.
Exactly. Exactly. So I did see a tourist get his hat ripped off by one of the monkeys because
wonderful.
You can reach through and grab it, but which is fairly entertaining. The guy did not get his hat back.
Good. That's
but you know what?
Did the monkey put the hat on his head?
Not until the guy left, actually. So the guy left, and the monkey dropped the hat after the guy left. Of course, he only wanted to keep it away from the guy.
Sure.
The monkey didn't want the hat. But
I'm
he
like
never
that.
Got it inside the fence. And
I'm
then,
a
you know,
like
the tourist
that.
Walked off, kind of a little upset about his hat thing. And so the minute the tourist walked off, I ran up and grabbed the hat and tossed it over the fence to the monkey. And then the monkey climbed into the hat. He didn't put it on his head.
Well, I don't understand this. I thought the monkey already had the hat.
The monkey had the hat. The guy walked away. The monkey lost interest immediately because he was only tormenting the tourist.
I see. There's a fence there.
Yes, there was a fence.
And you reached in and grabbed the hat.
Well, no, it was still on my side of the fence.
Oh, you just had a hold of it.
He had a hold of it.
Through the fence.
Yes.
It wouldn't let it go for the guy. Okay.
So the minute the guy stepped away, I grabbed the hat, tossed it over the fence. The monkey sat in it, which was pretty delightful. And then
sat in his hat?
Sat in the guy's hat.
Oh,
yeah,
that's good.
Very nice. And then about 100 yards down, I walked around this monkey thing, and there was a monkey grooming a coatimundi.
Coatimundi.
Like a raccoon.
Like a raccoon.
A raccoon with a pointy nose.
Grooming it like
this. Yes, and the coatimundi was sitting there enjoying the grooming. So the coatimundi. Clearly that's where we're going with this joke, isn't it? I should quit fighting and just say, coatimundi.
Yeah.
He had joined the troop.
Cool.
It was really great.
He was a raccoon.
Raccoon being groomed by monkeys.
I think we can all learn a lot from that.
Yeah.
We can all learn a lot from your...
Yeah, but, you know, we hear all these horrible monkey stories, but this monkey really clearly could have killed
a monkey. Yeah, that's one of the things that's kind of... I want to hear
a
horrible monkey story. Yeah. You had this... It was odd. And it was kind of sweet.
It was sweet and scary.
Leave it to you to have a sweet monkey story.
I know.
I'd like to hear some sort of horrific monkey
story.
Someone
will call in with
one. Let's see what David has to say. Hey, David, what's your monkey story?
Well, I used to work for an alcohol and drug abuse research
center.
This
is the David that I know.
This is David from Boston.
How you doing, David?
Not too bad.
We're really good friends, me and David, and we never talk except on the air, so this is nice. Yes, I know. You were a big alcoholic studier, right?
Yes.
And sleep deprivation study.
That's correct. This is about alcohol and cocaine, though.
Okay, good.
Okay, in this lab that studied addiction, they had two different animal labs. One, which I ran, was rats and the effects of alcohol on rats. The other lab was monkeys and the effects that cocaine had on monkeys.
Now, you have a drunken rat story, don't you?
This is the drunken rat story.
Okay, I'd like to hear the drunken rat story.
Well, what you do to make a rat chronically alcoholic is you implant a little tube in its stomach, run it up to the top of the rat's head, and kind of fix it in place with this little plastic cap so it can't claw things apart. You put it in the cage.
Did you actually do that operation?
Yes, I did.
Okay, tell us a little more about that operation.
Is that power tools? Is that a drill?
What do you use for that?
Well, you anesthetize the rat, and you... Cut it open.
You know what real men do? Real men do it without anesthesia. They just grab the rat and take the scalpel and force it into their stomach. But okay, you did it. You did it the wuss way.
I did it the humane way, so we could actually get the experiment done.
Okay. See, the way I would do it, it would just be tearing apart a rat with a scalpel.
I thought
you could like jam a cocktail straw into the rat, but that doesn't really work too well.
So you have this tube going into the stomach, and then he's got a little spout on the top of his head. So
and you connect it to a pump that pumps in an alcohol and water mixture. And so the rat is getting a very slow drip of alcohol all the time.
Uh-huh.
And after about a week, it becomes chronically alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working
now,
in this lab.
What did you find out about it? We did a bulls hit on this. Did it seem like every rat could be made alcoholic, or was that a genetic
Every rat could be made alcoholic.
Okay. Because, you know, a lot of the people in AA claim that certain people are alcoholics and certain people aren't.
We didn't see any evidence of that in the rats.
Okay. The rats when they had the drip in their stomach, they went Tom Waits instantly.
That's right. And rats are notoriously poor 12-steppers, so... So I was told one week that in the middle of one of these studies that we had to temporarily relocate these rats to the monkey lab because the rat lab had to have new electrical wiring put in.
Mm-hmm.
So I dutifully trotted, you know, four cages with alcoholic rats and their pumps and their booze into the monkey lab.
Now, was the alcohol that you used, I mean, it was just like straight alcohol mixed with water, right?
Scientific ethanol in water.
But the scientific ethanol is exactly the same as...
Yeah.
Yeah, it would just be like grain alcohol that you buy.
It's a clear bottle with a liquor stamp on the top.
Okay.
So we were given a counter on one side of the monkey lab, and in the monkey lab, there's about 10 monkeys in cages, and half of them are controls. They're just normal, healthy monkeys. And the other five are monkeys that are cocaine addicted.
Now, what do you do? Do you put a little tube in their nose? And
it's a little drip again. The monkeys are allowed to self-administer. They can tap a little bar, and it'll dose out a little bit of cocaine.
Oh, cool. Almost exactly the deal that Keith Richards had for a while.
So I traveled down to the lab after a weekend, and I discovered that the power had failed over the weekend, and that the pumps that were administering the alcohol to the rats had stopped.
Oh, Jesus.
So I had to reach into each of the cages to pull the rats out in order to disconnect the tubes, and, you know, because the experiment was dead at that point, and they were going to live out the rest of their lives having little rat DTs.
Uh-huh.
So I reached into the first cage, and the rat just kind of reared up and tried to snap at me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, time to put on the glove. So I put on this big, heavy-duty leather glove mm-hmm. that we use for grabbing uncooperative rats.
I hope it's not a little rack that says for grabbing uncooperative rats.
I don't care of those.
So I reach back into the cage, and I sort of get my hand around the rat's neck, which is how you grab them, but the rat whipped its head around and bit through the glove into the back of my right middle finger.
Okay.
Wow.
And it wouldn't let go.
Oh, man, through a leather glove.
Through a leather glove.
Yeah.
The rat's a little crazy. He hasn't had his drink. Who knows what he thought the glove was, but, uh-huh. you know, he bit into me. So I'm hopping up and down in the lab by myself, you know, yelling, ouch, 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 kind of like Yosemite Sam with dynamite in his pants.
Oh!
I know you can do this to Yosemite Sam.
Like, I know. Ow, 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 ow. Oh!
Yeah. So I shake the rat off, finally. It hits the ground.
Now, that's what that is actually one of Tom Foley's messages that he sent to the page. You want to shake the rat off, is what he asked. That's what he's in such trouble with. The whole Republican Party may go down because he typed into his little phone, you want to shake the rat off, boy. Go ahead.
He didn't have a terry cloth towel. So the rat runs across the floor and jumps into one of the monkey cages.
Oh! Oh! Okay. This is where it gets good.
Does he jump into the normal monkey's cage? No. Oh. He jumps into one of the coke-addicted monkey's cages.
And presumably the power's been off for them as well.
Yes.
So this really is an interview between Nixon and Elvis. This is when they met. Right? It's the exact same thing. You have an alcoholic and a cocaine freaked out. Okay, an alcoholic rat and a cocaine freaked out monkey. It really is. It's the Elvis Nixon picture. Go ahead.
So the rat is dodging the monkey who's trying to grab it.
Now, and the monkey finally, has had his coke. He's fully dosed up, right?
Probably, okay. Yeah. So the rat, trying to dodge the monkey, runs up the monkey's back.
So the monkey is on cocaine and also has a rat at his back.
Yes, because
which is slang.
One of the first Monkey Tuesdays, you ask, what does a drug-addicted monkey have on his back?
Uh-huh.
The answer is an alcoholic rat.
Okay.
I bet you could sell rats filled with alcohol at frat parties. You know, like those drinks. Here you go, eat this rat, you'll get drunk.
Well, I mean, they'd also be like, that's a Jackass stunt.
Yeah.
If they take the rat with the thing in his stomach and the little cap on his head, and they turn him over and squeeze him and drink out of him. That's a disgusting image. I should not have said that. Go on, David. Is that where the story ends?
Almost. So the monkey, who's also sort of hooked up via one of these little plastic head caps, is basically spinning around in the cage as fast as he can, reaching around, trying to grab the rat, who's, you know, right in the monkey's back. At this point, I didn't even know what to do because I'm not allowed to touch the monkeys. So I had to go and get the monkey tech.
Uh-huh.
And when I brought the monkey tech in, the monkey's still spinning around. There's a rat in his back. And the guy looked at me and said, I don't even want to have an explanation of how this happened. Get out and I'll take care of it.
And how was your finger?
I still have a scar.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. A scar to remember that wonderful day from.
Yes.
You know, it was sterile.
Well, thank you so much, David. That was just, I love talking to David. I never get to talk to him in day-to-day life. There. Oh, look at the time. We're going to take a break, come back with more Monkey Tuesday. 866-570-PAN, that's 7366. And next caller should really have an alcoholic rat in his back, don't you think?
Monkeys in his monkey, bang, bang, bang. Monkeys in the air, monkeys on the roof, tearing out the land out with their tooth. Now they have the pots, now they have the pans. Let's go together, bang, bang, pans.
Yeah, this is Ben Gillette on a Monkey Tuesday. 866-570-PEN, 7366. That's penradio@gmail.com. Penradio.com. Person writes in from Balmer. Name is Mike. He writes, it's Fish Sandwich Mike. He writes in and says, you guys are back on in Balmer today. I don't know what happened yesterday. Why in the heck? Boy, he's mad. This is all caps and uses the word heck. Why in the heck would you mess up good monkey music with lyrics? Fish Sandwich Mike. Okay, we won't play the one with lyrics again. Let's play the one. Monkey Tuesday. That's just for Mike. Play a little more for Fish Sandwich Mike. That's good. Thank you, Mike. We won't play the lyric one, at least too much. We might make it play it a little bit, but not too much. Let's take a phone call. You got any monkey stuff to say? We got a few good articles. What do you got?
We have a bunch of good articles, but on the rat story, we have a woman arrested for hamster neglect.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Drudge. Yeah,
this lady was arrested for, she has 39 counts of failing to provide food and drink and proper shelter to hamsters. She had 33 live and 6 dead hamsters.
This is one of the things I wonder about, you know? The whole SPCA thing, so many animals are killed all the time.
We eat chickens every day.
Once you label them pets, it becomes this whole different thing. I mean, if you just had hamsters, I mean, right now, as we speak, I am not providing food and drink to every hamster in the world. That's my crime, right? I mean, every hamster in the world is not getting food and drink from me.
No.
But I guess because she brings it into her home, she's then responsible. I guess there's some sense to that. I don't know. Let's take a hamster.
In Peru, they eat guinea pigs.
Sure. Why
like Kenny
they?
Rogers Roasters. You know that rack that has a whole bunch of chickens on it? They have that with guinea pigs.
Sure.
I love that.
Well, that's the Bobcat Goldthwait.
That makes me want to go to Peru.
The Bobcat Goldthwait joke, you know, which is the difference between a hamster and a gerbil. More white meat on the gerbil. That was the, or maybe it was hamster. I forget which had more white meat, but it probably didn't matter. Let's talk to Chad. What's up, Chad? You're on Monkey Tuesday.
All right. What's shaking, boys?
We're talking monkeys. We're talking monkeys like shaking off a rat.
We got a little girl in my son's class was bit in the supermarket by this guy's helper monkey.
Uh-huh. What was wrong with the guy?
Well, the guy, it turned out he was trying to dupe the system. And he was...
This is the crime of the century.
He was in the wheelchair, which he actually didn't need, and was using the wheelchair to get his disability, and he also used that to keep the helper monkey. And he had, like, this little laser pointer, and he would point at stuff in the supermarket, and the monkey would grab it.
Uh-huh.
So now the monkey...
But he didn't have to be in a wheelchair, and he didn't even...
He's a genius.
No.
This is a man who can get his monkey on airplanes. His monkey anywhere
exactly.
He wants.
So he loved his pet monkey and pretended to be disabled so as to bring his monkey wherever he went?
I don't know if it went the other way. He might have been pretending to be disabled to get the money, the right. Disability money, and then got the monkey.
I see. but anyway, the monkey was part of a ruse. So it bit a girl in your kid's class?
Yeah, bit her in the supermarket. And
that led to that is.
Very painful. Very
and
painful.
And that led to the investigation, which caused him to lose his monkey and his disability.
That's a bad day.
That's a bad day for that guy. Boy, but the ruse was working. The ruse. The ruse was working perfectly. Sure.
Until they're so much like us.
Yeah, they sure are. Thank you so much, Chad.
All right,
thanks,
fellas.
Thanks, man. Thanks
a
lot.
That's such a confusing story.
Really confusing story. So it's a guy that's just very lazy.
So maybe he was pretending to be disabled so that he could get a monkey.
But no, he says he thinks the monkey came later. Pretending to be disabled to get money.
Foisted a monkey onto him.
That would be even funnier. That would be really funny if the government foisted a monkey upon him.
See, I can't even raise my arms. Well, we're going to give you a monkey. Oh, wait, I'm healed.
Well, there is that thing you gave me. I guess this isn't very good for the air, but there's this wonderful thing that someone sent on the web. Is that right?
Yeah, it was on the web. I don't know where it was from.
We don't have the web page. It's Monkey Pre-Arrival Doc. So you can probably do a search for Monkey Pre-Arrival Doc or Saboto Gagnier Wildlife Exports, LLC. It is this great, great three-page document that you should be sending to all your friends that says you're a new monkey. And it says, congratulations. As soon as the import documents are cleared and the quarantine period expires, you'll be the proud owner of a young rhesus monkey gifted to you for the following reason. And there's a set of boxes you can check. Wedding gift, anniversary, birthday, holiday, other. The gift was paid for and arranged by, then the name. Click here if the gift wisher remains anonymous. No doubt in your childhood you saw funny monkeys on TV and thought you would like to have one. Perhaps you were sidetracked by a career or family and never made that happen. But someone who cares about you has. And there's a three-page document on how remove all furniture, make sure the door is lockable from the outside, install a peephole viewer, remove all lighting and cover all outlets with solid plates. Make sure all windows are closed and locked. Never cover the windows as monkeys need to see clouds. And it just puts the fear of Jesus in you. You should purchase the following. Lettuce, grapes, hummus, fresh water, newspaper or thick absorbent pads to cover the floor, diapers size 5, rope, squeeze toys, tape measure, hammer, piece of medium-sized Samsonite luggage for monkey to play with, stuffed dolls, rubber balls, and other monkey amusements, ointments, aluminum trash can lid until the monkey stops viewing you as a threat. Oh, so funny. And but you know, a monkey is the same mental capacity and behavior as a 2-year-old child. In captivity, a monkey can live up to 40 years, so you'll have a lifelong friend. Monkeys require constant attention. Do not leave a monkey unattended, as it will view this as abandonment and react in a very negative way. If you have a job, you'll have to bring him or her to do it, or get a monkey sitter. Do not assume a monkey throwing feces is aggressive. Sometimes they're just having playful and expect you to participate. You determine the monkey's mood by studying them and looking in their eyes. Avoid eye contact with a monkey. They will view this as a challenge and attack. And it goes on and on and on. The monkey will arrive in a crate and will very likely be tired and are agitated. Follow the instructions of traps. And it just goes on and on. I think you should really download this and send it to all your friends. Make them think they're getting a monkey. Well,
The monkey threat is even better than the pony gift, really.
Yeah, it is. Really is. Yeah, it really is. The monkey threat is fabulous because anybody with a brain in their head would realize this is a nightmare. Let's talk to who is this? This is Shelby. Is this sexy Shelby?
Yes, it is. Hello.
Never been better, boss. How are you doing? You didn't even
I'm
ask me
fabulous.
How I was. And I still told you.
What's that?
You got a monkey story for us, Shelby?
I do. My close friend of my family, my mother's friend Linda, mm-hmm. had a monkey.
Yeah.
She owned a monkey. I don't know where she got it, but I was very young. I don't remember it. But my mother tells me this story. Now, nobody was allowed to go near the monkey because the monkey bites.
Yeah, sure.
But my mother got brave one day. They were all her and her friends were playing a game. And so, you ever heard of Mahjong?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they were all playing, and somebody sits out and bets on the game, and then they rotate. So mm-hmm. she's sitting out waiting to bet. And she's, I guess, near the monkey cage, and the monkey grabs her hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was feeling brave, so she just let the monkey hold her hand, and the monkey was sitting there all pleasantly and holding her hand, and, you know, everything was fine. Well, then she had to get up to go bet. But when she got up and walked away, the monkey didn't like it that she was leaving her, so it grabbed her hand back and bit her finger.
There you go. And the great thing is there's one really obscure rule of Mahjong, which is the person betting, the players can bet on whether that person gets bit by a monkey or not.
So
it was a really reasonable payday for all of them.
Right, exactly. So it's really funny that, you know, she had this monkey, and people thought she had a child locked up in a cage in her house.
Because that's more common than a monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you're not allowed to touch the monkey. Only she can touch the monkey. It's like, why do you have this monkey? Why? But she had the monkey for a long, long time.
A delightful pet.
Just trying to get with you and that monkey. Just you and that monkey. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Shelby. Thanks
All right,
a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We should also thank the guys from the Playmate of the Apes movie. Remember we had the guy
Oh, yeah. He was nice. And he sent us Kinky Kong and Playmate of the Apes. He sent us a bunch of those cheesy porny films, those porno films. And Godot took some of them home, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I have three of them upstairs. If you want them, Patrick, because Patrick, someone sent us also, will also say thank you, sent us a big, big stack of penthouse forums and penthouse journals and penthouse, or I guess the plural is penthouse, and sent them to us, and Patrick just grabbed them like an alcoholic pack rat and just ran home with them. He's gonna use those for
He hit him in his shirt like we wouldn't notice.
Yeah, yeah,
he'd walk out with them.
And we said something about how he was going to use them, and he got disgusted and went, no, that's not how. Fine. We believe you, Patrick. We believe you, Patrick. Okay. We'll be back. Come on, call in now. We need some more monkey stories. 866-570-PEN. There's a couple lines open. 866-570-PEN-7366. Getting monkey stories. Before I throw it to the commercial, I want to say congratulations to Andy Block, the poker tournament that I was in a while ago that I lost miserably to Jennifer Tilly was won. The $500,000 was won by my buddy Andy Block, who really is a very skilled poker player and deserved to win. So we're very happy for Andy Block. Congrats to Andy Block. Go check him out on the web. And this is Ben Gillette on a Monkey Tuesday. Pendulette here.
That low one sort of scared me for a second.
You kind of jumped back in your seat. Pendulette here, 866-570-PEN-7366. We're maggoty with monkey calls. We got plenty of them now. PenRadio@gmail.com, PenRadio.com. I talked about your new monkeys coming. We talked about the monkey lyrics. There's a good story here from Court TV News about a man smuggling monkeys in his pants. Los Angeles, California. This is by written by Lisa Sweetingham of Court TV. Los Angeles, when the rare birds of paradise escaped from his suitcase and flew over the heads of U.S. custom agents in Los Angeles International Airport, Robert Cusack, decided it was best to confess that, yes, he did have more to declare. And then this is what he declared. I have monkeys in my pants, Cusack told agents. Cusack, 49, just got off a plane from Thailand, was immediately taken into custody. Two endangered slow loris pygmy monkeys were rescued from Cusack's underwear. For him to smuggle four birds of paradise, two lorises, is that what it is?
Loris.
Lorises?
Loris, yeah.
Loris.
And a prosimian. It's not really quite a monkey.
Five rare orchids in the United States on June 13th, 2002. Cusack served 5.5 months in prison and paid $1,100 in fines. And then his traveling companion had two newborn Asian leopard cats in his suitcase. So, monkey in your pants, monkey in your pants. That would actually be fine lyrics for the song. Monkey in your pants, monkey in your pants. Let's see what we have here. Let's take Greg. What's up, Greg? Get a monkey story for us?
Oh, yeah. In the probably early 70s, I was about five, mm-hmm. and my parents went to a Halloween party, and there was a couple there that dressed as Tarzan and Jane and decided that on the way to the party...
Was this one of those, like, swinging 70s white-swapping parties where they, like, dressed as Tarzan and Jane, and then they put all their car keys exactly. in different hats and picked them out and had sex with each other? Even if that's not true, Greg, please let me believe it was a swinging 70s party. And let me believe that these are two people we'd want to see dressed as Tarzan and Jane, okay?
Right, exactly.
You were 5 years old. You don't remember. Please let me fill in the details myself.
Actually, I wasn't even at the party. That's the good part.
Okay, good. That's a good part.
So it could have been, no matter what you think.
It could have been a swinging
exactly.
party. I think it was. I think they were having Trini Lopez records playing, and they were going into the rec room in the basement and having their way with one another, dressed as famous jungle movie
exactly.
characters.
Oh, you finished the story for me.
Well, go ahead. So,
thanks for calling.
So this couple shows up.
Naugahyde. There was a lot of Naugahyde. There was a lot of Naugahyde on the couches and stuff. There's
exactly.
Naugahyde. Stained Naugahyde over the corner.
Stained Naugahyde.
Go ahead.
So the couple decides on the way to the party that they're just going to stop at the pet store, and as a prop, just buy a spider monkey. This is a prop.
Those were the 70s. Those are the 70s. Why don't we live like that anymore? Why don't we? You know, if I want to be driving with my wife and say, you know, just for a prop, let's pick up a spider monkey. Back in the 70s, life was cheap.
A temporary pet for a few hours.
Yeah, sure.
So they show up.
Maybe it was a temporary wife for a few hours with that Nogahide down in the rec room.
So halfway through the party,
me, Tarzan, you, Jane. Yeah,
exactly. Halfway through the party, of course, everybody's giving the monkey, you know, alcohol, saying he's getting a serious contact buzz. So my mom, being the animal lover she is, oh my, he's trying to help the thing. She decides she's going to take it home and take care of it for the rest of its life.
A drunken stone monkey adopted by your drunken stone wife-swapping mom.
Exactly, yes. Meanwhile, I'm home with the babysitter, and they come home.
Now,
this
isn't a story to tell slow, you and the babysitter, is it?
Possibly. Okay, the guy. No. No, so they bring the monkey home, and
they're also little buzz. And what were your mom and dad dressed like?
They're like Frankenstein and, you know, whoever.
Frankenstein and whoever? You don't remember? Yeah, you know. Your mother is dressed as a famous monster from Hollywood. You don't remember who?
Exactly, Lily.
Lily, okay. Frankenstein and Lily of the Monsters.
So they come home with a spider monkey.
Oh, man. That was the 70s, wasn't it?
Exactly. So I'm like 5 years old. Of course, as soon as they walk in the door, the thing just goes nuts, climbing the walls, ripping the place apart. And of course,
your dad has bolts in his neck. He's going, honey, I got bolts in my goddamn neck, and you bring home a monkey. So your dad, he's got those big platform boots with about, he's got like 9 inches under his feet, and he's running with bolts in his neck after a drunken stone monkey and his wife swapping wife dressed as the Monsters running around with his 5-year-old kid with their male babysitter that have already had an awakening. This whole thing is happening because this is the 70s, because playing in the background is Gilbert O'Sullivan.
That's it. There you go, love. So, of course, I go, monkey, hold my finger out, and it just clamps right down on my finger. So, ironically, that's the last time I saw the monkey.
Okay, now the fun is over, Greg. There's fun is all over. Just stop the laughing now. That was the improper use of the word ironic. You're going to kill all our fun. Not surprisingly, as expected, almost anything. Did you listen to Alanis Morissette? She's the one that poisoned your young mind.
Oh,
but anyway,
no.
So you never saw the monkey again. Your dad took the bolts.
My mom took it home to save its life, and I think my dad took it out back.
What a proper use of a monkey.
So the monkey just...
I think that's the irony, I guess.
There was no...
She wanted to save its life, it bit me, and it was dead 10 minutes later.
You are a genius, Greg. You just pulled the misuse of the word ironic, you turned it around, and I'm the one with the drunken rat on my back. That really is ironic. The monkey got brought home to be saved and was rather... What do you think did your father have like a .22 around?
I don't know, just a...
How did he kill a monkey?
Just a dull hatchet.
He did not kill a monkey with a dull hatchet.
Hey, man, I was 5. I wasn't allowed to say it.
Now, is your dad still around? Is he still alive?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think you should get him on the blower. You need to call your dad anyway. See if you can get him to call in and tell us how he killed the monkey. Because the story, tell your dad to call in. Even if it's after the show time, we'll put him on hold. 866-570-PEN 7366. Get your dad on the telephone. Have him call us. We want to hear how he killed the monkey with a dull hatchet. Have him ask directly for Jack. We'll put him right through. This is really important. Even if it's not today, we'll set them up for next week or something.
Exactly.
Have them call right now. We've got to. I should actually give the hotline number. I don't know how to do it. Why don't you hold on, and Jack will give you the hotline number for your dad to call in, because I'm going to put you on. I'll put you on hold here, and then Jack is talking to Greg now, and he'll get a phone number for the dad to call in, because this is a whole story. Now I don't remember anymore how much of this story was true and how much did I make up. The Naga hide, the rec room, the wife swapping, the Naga hide.
Yeah,
that's all me, right?
That's all you.
None of that was part of the story.
I'm sorry.
Picking up the monkey on the way to the party. That's real.
That's real.
It's very important after you've had a kind of a pendulette episode to sort through what you made up and what was real. Now, Dull Hatchet, Greg made up, right? Male babysitter, part of the story, right?
That's part of the story.
Okay, male babysitter, five-year-old kid, monkey, Tarzan and Jane, but brought home. See, the monkey, the poor monkey must have had quite an identity crisis. He was brought to the party by Tarzan and Jane, but brought home by Frankenstein.
You're supposed to leave who you show up with, man. Sure. I know the rules of that.
Yeah, especially at a wife-swapping party, where they're throwing all the keys and the Naga hide and one of those little cat clocks where the eyes move and the tail wags where the clock goes back and forth. And maybe not Gilbert O'Sullivan, probably more Earth, Wind, and Fire, right?
You don't want Afternoon Delight, maybe.
So that's the part you made up.
Yeah,
that's you made
part
up. We made Minnie Riperton. we made love in my Chevy van, and that's all right with me. So the morning, we can take another quick call or two, can't we? Let's take Chris. I want to talk to Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Penn. Good to talk to you.
Wonderful to talk to you, Chris. How you doing?
Good. So I have a story.
Lay it on us.
Back in the 80s, I went to high school in this little town in New York, mm-hmm. and there was an English teacher who wore a wig.
Oh, yeah, good.
And she was married to a math teacher who did not wear a wig, but they were
at least
were
not that you saw.
Yes, yes.
But they would probably be at the party with Tarzan and Jane from the last story.
Yeah, these didn't seem like party people. They were kind of serious, you know.
Uh-huh.
So there was this rumor that went around about how, we'll call her Mrs. Smith, how she got this wig.
Uh-huh.
And the story was that her husband, Mr. Smith, uh-huh. had purchased two baby orangutans back in the heyday of Every Which Way But Loose.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And the orangutans had grown.
You're kind of implying that there was a time in American history where a lot of people went out and bought orangutans. But go ahead. We'll go along with that.
Urban legend. People owning alligators in the sewer, orangutans in suburbia. Okay, so the legend was that she came home one day towards the end of the school year. It was getting pretty hot, summertime, and the air conditioning had kicked out in their house. And mm-hmm. the orangutans, which were now not babies, like young adult orangutans, mm-hmm. had ripped their cages apart and were tearing the house apart.
Uh-huh.
So in her attempt to stop them from tearing the house apart, they pulled out all her hair. Like, from the roots.
That's a big jump.
Okay, this was her, I guess, her first big disciplinary problem with the orangutan. So,
but wait a minute, if your hair is pulled out by the roots, it grows back.
This is like the way the story was relayed to me back in 87-ish.
Okay.
The damage to the scalp was such that she could not grow a complete head of hair and had to wear the wig, which we all knew her by, which was kind of a bouffant, kind of coppery looking, you know.
Which we call the wig of orangutan shame.
Yeah. So wait, the story gets more crazy. Now
It's gonna get more crazy in 10 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. The orangutans keep her hostage. The police come and shoot the orangutans, but she and her husband stay married because even though they were his pride and joy, his baby orangutans, he's guilty about her hair being bald.
I see. Okay, so it's kind of like an O. Henry story. This is Penn Jillette. We're out. Bye-bye. Thanks for the Monkey Tuesday.